all of a sudden, we kind of begin to bite our fingernails and get all anxious-ridden or overridden by anxieties for the most part. But he says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The most serious threats to the truth are those threats from within. Someone claiming to be a believer, establishing himself or herself as a leader, as a teacher, whether it's in our seminaries or whether it is someone in our pulpits in America. I think there's been a series, I think it's been on the History Channel. It's been very positive, if you will, towards biblical history. And I hope that the body of Christ gets used to calling it history, because they say, well, this Bible story, that Bible story. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear a story, it kind of brings a different connotation to the element here. And I like to look at things as a biblical historical event. And they were. And this certainly, what we're reading about, is a historical event that took place. But someone claiming to be a Christian and who attacks essential Christian biblical truth is more of a danger than those who espouse it outwardly. But on that channel, they also now have one, I guess, that they're, and it's dispelling anything about the Bible whatsoever. It's taken a very negative approach and really trying to unravel. Well, you know, you got to expect that from an unsaved individual, they don't understand, that they don't have any insight whatsoever. They're just using a finite mind trying to understand infinite truth. And it really isn't possible. And I certainly consider myself, even as a believer, one who has a finite mind. But I have a Holy Spirit indwelling within me who is as infinite mentally and understanding knowledge-wise as certainly as God the Father, who can help me to understand things that this pea brain couldn't understand for the most part. But wherever the gospel is preached and wherever the gospel is taught regularly, it will be attacked at some point in time. Most of the New Testament writers have at one time or another touched on this issue of false teachers slipping into the church. And unless we are in the Word of God as individuals and corporately as body of believers, it's amazing how they can slip in. And since we've been here, we've actually had several who have actually attempted to do that, haven't they, Brother Jim? Those who have been here with the same length of time, who have attempted to come in here and to lead us in a different direction. And they get a little bit upset when we stood our ground and said, you know what, there's the door. Now, we didn't say it as much, but they got the idea that that's what was coming down the pike. And one of those subtle ways today is when people begin to talk down the King James and they try to build up these other translations. And these are false teachers that are entering into the body of Christ. Christ's message to the church, or the churches in the book of Revelation, were permeated with warnings to those churches who tolerate, deliberately so, tolerate heretics in their midst. And God rebuked them for it, as God will rebuke even churches today who allow false teachers to enter. And Christ also praised those who would not tolerate false teachers and purge them from their midst. And we don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed or fearful to take on those who would bring in false doctrines and heresies and try to pass them off as biblical doctrinal truth. Well, the incident here in the book of Thessalonica is a prime example of the great lengths these false teachers will sometimes go to. Number one, someone orchestrated a ruse by letter within the church that the rapture had already taken place and that they were left behind. It says so in chapter 2, and it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, we don't have to get caught up in this. Why? Because we got the Bible. They didn't have this New Testament in their day. So we don't have to fall for these ruses. We can get in the Word of God and say, well, you know what? I heard what you said there, but this is what the Bible says, and you're full of baloney. And the Bible is right on. Amen? So, secondly, one can only imagine the wave of fear that would have come over the believers. Some might remember me sharing this with you one time, but you know, when you're backslidden and away from the Lord, and you're under a great deal of conviction, it's amazing what goes through your mind at times. And when I was in the United States Air Force, and away from home, and away from all kinds of influence, family and friends and church and so on there, and I am not going to blame the United States Air Force, I'm not going to blame the environment, because the problem was neither was my heart. But certainly there are those environments in which you're going to run into greater temptations than you might otherwise. And certainly when I was in the Air Force, there were a lot of great temptations. I was backslidden. And I was going to visit some of my buddies from the duty section where we were working. And I left out the barracks that I was in, going over to their barracks. And it was one of those sharp, cold winter nights. The sky was absolutely clear. And I had not seen an aurora borealis in a long, long time. Especially in our hemisphere, we don't see them nearly as bright or as beautiful or as off as you see maybe up in Greenland or you see in Alaska during their nighttime hours out there. But this night, there was a curtain that was going across the sky. It looked just like a curtain that was blowing in the breeze going across there. It was beautiful. And I stepped out of the barracks and I looked up and said, oh, the rapture. And I think to myself, but I'm still here. I tell you what, that'll shake you up a little bit when you're away from the Lord. Amen? So one can only imagine the wave of fear that crossed the minds and the hearts of these people. I experienced a little bit of that myself. And so if I had been in the Word of God, I would have realized, no, that wasn't the rapture. That was the aurora borealis, which I, after a couple of steps, I said, oh, wait a minute, that is the aurora borealis. One of those numbers. And so Paul sets the record straight and reminds them of the nature and the character of those events that will take place when Christ does come. See, that's why it's so important for us to know the Bible. And as discouraging as it may be, and Paul reminds us that there's going to come a great falling away in the latter days. Now, obviously, you've heard me say a number of different times that the unsaved can't fall away from something that they've never had. So the great falling away must be on the part of believers who are turning away from believing that God has kept his promise in preserving his word without error. Or believing that we can find absolute truth in the word of God. Or that somehow God is no longer interested in what's going on in the lives of believers or what's going on in the world at all today. We know that God's very interested. God is very vitally concerned, if you will. So we may ask ourselves tonight then, what was the purpose of the ruse? Well, if you understand, Satan is the author of these things. It was to confuse and to discourage the believers. In 2 Timothy, Paul gives sound advice and a solemn warning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 18. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Notice first the admonition to do what in verse 15? We are to do what? Stand fast. The question is, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe man or you're going to believe God? You're going to believe man or you're going to believe the Word of God? Really comes down to one of those two choices tonight. Are you going to say, well, I know what the Bible says, but my pastor said, or this teacher in college, or this person said this over here. So what? If they are not in agreement with God, they're wrong. If I'm not with God, then I'm wrong. And the only way that I could ever possibly be right is if I'm on the side of God. If I take what God has said and I apply it to my life and I teach what God has said and I preach what God has said, then I will be right. But if I teach that which God did not say, then I'm a false prophet. I am a liar. And there's plenty of those out there in the world today. So the warning is that there are many more like Hymenaeus and Philetus that Paul addresses. So beware and be sure the way to be discerning in this day and age is for you and I to be in the Word. God warns us often and repeatedly in the New Testament, and so did the Lord, that in the latter days there would be an outpouring of false prophets, false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 3 deals, he said there's going to be lots and lots and lots of these people out there who are going to be teaching errant doctrine. And this is also true of our very own thought life, if we're not careful. If we do not know what has been said and what has been made available to us in and through the Word of God tonight, then we are going to lean to our own understandings and to make suppositions about God or about God's words that simply are not true, simply that are not biblical, and that makes us false teachers and false prophets. So even in our lives as moms and dads, as parents teaching our children, we need to teach them the pure Word of God. Don't, and I know I'm guilty of this, and as you are, we ought not to say, well, let me just give you the gist. Usually what that means is, I've forgotten what the verse said, for the most part. You may have the right idea, but there's greater power and greater force in the Word of God as is given in its truth, and then maybe expound on that a little bit would be wonderful. But if we don't know what's in the Word of God, we're going to be leaning to our own understanding, and we may actually be giving bad counsel. We may be giving bad advice. We may be teaching false doctrine. Timothy, he's saying, be on guard. Believers, be diligent. We have to be sober. We also ought to be on guard in our thought life. What we think about God. What we think about the world in which we live. What we think about other believers. What we think about the lost in the world. Peter also warned about a status-seeking leader in the church by the name of Diotrephes, back in the third epistle of John in verse 9. If we can just go back over a few books here. Excuse me. In the third epistle of John in verse 9, he said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. In other words, whatever they had written to the church, whatever they had encouraged the church or admonished the church or desired to teach the church, Diotrephes had the attitude, if it's not coming from me, then don't listen. You know, as your pastor, I don't have a market on the Word of God. I don't have a market on the interpretation of the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God, you can glean from it what I glean from it. What I know from the Word of God, you can know from the Word of God, and we can keep each other in check. Amen? So your balance and my balance is the Word of God. So while the devil can distract us by fighting overt battles against those who would like to repress everything and anything Christian, and we're living in that day and age where really everything and anything Christian is not welcome in the public arena. The body of Christ is coming under attack relentlessly. And because of where the leaders of this world want to take the world, and right now those leaders in America who want to take America in the direction that the rest of the world desires to go, which is away from God, they realize that you and I as believers and the Christian life and the Christian walk and the Christian faith is in the way. You are an impediment to the desire for their programs. We're already beginning to see some of the programs that they want to bring about. And it doesn't look very good. You would hope that by now people would have enough common sense to look out there and say, you know what, this stuff just isn't working. And so, Bibles in the school. It's a shame that we have to go to places like the Philippines to be welcomed into the schools to preach. And not just because we have been sending over some Americans, but they love to have an opportunity to hear Americans. And they actually, in their predominantly Roman Catholicism there in the islands, but they would normally have priests come in. But the priests now, for the most part, don't want to be bothered. So the local born-again Bible-believing pastors, Baptist preachers, have been finding inroads in there. And you bring someone over like Brother Tim Taylor, or you bring someone over like Brother Bruce, who goes over there and will spend an entire month over there. They get into school after school after school after school. And they don't restrict what he can preach. And then they hand out those boys and girls Gospels of John's and Romans. And the teachers get whole Bibles. And a lot of our churches here in Vermont, we pull our resources together so we can send over thousands of Bibles. So when Brother Bruce gets over there, they can distribute them all throughout the Philippines where they have an opportunity to get in to preach. So they preach in churches. And they'll pack their churches out to hear the gospel. The schools, and Brother Bruce, when he had a first invitation, this is his first time over there back a number of years ago, he had an invitation to by one of the pastors, listen, would you like to preach in one of the schools? He said, sure, I'd like to. And he's probably figuring 15, 20 students. And he said, I get in there, and he said, I realize 1,500 boys and girls with teachers and staff that he was able to preach to. He said, this tingles just went up and down his spine to be able to do that. Here in America, they don't even want you to mention the name of Christ in school. And don't back down from them, by the way. You do have rights, students. Young people, you do have rights. There's a student bill of rights. But we're finding what happened not too far over here in New York. Two atheists got upset because the board of directors, the board of trustees in that little town, was it Greece in New York? Was a town called Greece? I think it is. And they raise a ruckus because they would invite the local preachers in to open their session with prayer. And they said, we were offended by that. And so, of course, you know, the ACLU is going to jump in with both boots and guns blazing, if you will, to go all the way to town. But as someone said, that in this politically correct environment, we're allowing the minority to wag the majority. Now, our dog, when he gets really happy, when he's so happy, just his tail waggles. But when he's really, really, really happy, he wiggles from nose to tail. I mean, I don't know how he does it. He wiggles all over the place. And what we've come to let happen in America today, I think we're discussing a little bit after church on Wednesday night back here, and that is the idea that, listen, why is it that only the world has a right to attack believers for what we believe, to silence us? And then we back off. No, we need to start standing toe to toe, not in anger, but with love and combat. Because I believe that would drive them crazier than if we just got in their face and screamed and yelled back at them. But if we have, with a sparkle in our eyes and a smile on our little faces, and we stand toe to toe and nose to nose with them, it'll have a different impact on these individuals. But certainly it begins by being on our knees. Amen. So Bibles in the school have been outlawed. Prayer in school has been outlawed. Prayer in Christ's name in public venues and at baccalaureates. Listen, these young people are ready to go out into a world. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone under there who understood the difference between morality and immorality? Rather than bring in a neutral, a moral or amoral message that has no impact whatsoever, but someone to come up there and to challenge them that, listen, morality is the way to go. Prayers and testimonies and Bible clubs. Listen, in my day, you could actually have a Bible club in a school. Nobody said a thing. They thought that was good stuff. That's wonderful to have it. We could go on the list, banning the Ten Commandments and crosses and you name it. Don't you? How many of you have gone across country and you've seen these three crosses sometimes on hills? They're what? White, yellow, and I think there's two yellows and one white one, is it up there? I remember the first time I saw them, I said, well, that is absolutely cool. Absolutely cool. But, you know, they have permission to put them where they put them, but, you know, someone's been trying to get them to force them to take them down because they don't like them being up there. Or cross out in the middle of the desert somewhere where it was doing no one any harm whatsoever. But anyway, battles that need to be fought for sure, but those who fight them are becoming fewer and fewer because, as Paul said, they have become shaken. And he says we should not be soon shaken in verse 2 in mind. But listen, God is still God. God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne. Amen? We don't have to fear the enemy. The enemy has been sowing the seeds of tares among the wheat from within the churches. And those tares, spread and sown by false teachers with their false doctrine, have been choking the life and the will out of the wheat. By analogy, the believers. And so while Jude doesn't have any one person or group or people in mind, the admonition is to know the truth beyond any shadow of a doubt. And that should be our mission. Is to know what God has said as well as to know what God has not said. And to know the truth is the most important mission we could be on. Because in that truth, everything else will come along with it. The responsibility of the believer. The leadership in the home and in the church, as we spoke about this morning. Well, I spoke about, you all listened very nicely. But no matter how stealthily the false teachers are, those who know the truth will see them just like that. They will know when something isn't right, when something is missing. Now, you know, you may have some people driving a car down the road and that thing is knocking and banging and clanging and it's an 8-cylinder engine and it's only hitting on 2. And that person, as long as it's going, they don't care. They don't know any different. But you take someone who is a mechanic and say, man, that thing needs a serious tune-up so it can run. Those who know music well. Listen, you could hit a wrong note and I'd probably never detect it. But someone who knows music and understands would go, ooh, excuse me, they know. We ought to be the same way. When someone begins to open their mouth about the Lord, whether they're just blowing smoke in our direction or if they're really speaking from the Word of God. And I'm afraid that many don't know that. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses are so successful. That's why the Mormons are being more successful than they ought to be. This is why the Muslims are being one of the most radical, violent religions in the world. And make no bones about it, they are a radical, vicious religion. And yet people will fall for them. And listen, they say that the Muslim faith is really growing very, very fast, faster than Christianity is growing. Now, isn't that amazing? You and I are bigoted, haters, and yet all we have is goodwill toward others. We should have. Goodwill towards others, that desire to see them saved, come to know Christ, and to enjoy the blessings of walking with the Lord and the Lord walking with us as well as walking with them. And they will go and they will join a religion or become part of a religion who says, if you can't win them, kill them. You may feel like that sometimes as a believer when you talk to someone and finally after a number of times they don't get it, but the truth of the matter is that in compassion and love, we share the gospel because we want them to enjoy those blessings. Amen? So when Paul says that we be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Listen, I believe we are living in a day and age when the Lord's return is a lot closer than many of us may be aware of. And there are a lot of telltale signs in not only what's going on in the Middle East, but what's going on rampantly throughout the whole world, if you're paying attention. And young people, you do well to realize that video games and all those things at the expense of knowing what's going around in your environment, because someday you may have to live in an environment that you're going to ask yourself, when did this happen? You need to be paying attention. But as believers, we ought not to be soon shaken because we have a sovereign God who is in control. Amen. But we need to be busy about our responsibility. We need to be busy about our business for the Lord, and that is winning as many as we can possibly win in whatever doors that God opens for us to be able to reach out and to win others to the Lord. Amen? But regardless of what's going on, with your health insurance, listen, you have the greatest policy in the Lord and Savior. When we first got here, we didn't have any health insurance. In fact, back in 1985, I think we had Dr. Dinosaur, did we have? Yeah, those things are. I mean, the church couldn't afford any kind of health insurance. And my appendix ruptured, and I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Had no insurance. And so you can imagine the bill. And yet God took care of it all. He really took care of it all for us. I'm not suggesting everybody cancel their insurance policies and go out and do that. If you do, you better make sure you are where God wants you to be, amen? Doing what God wants you to do when it comes right down to it. Now, there were times that I did worry about that. There were times I was concerned about not having the health insurance that we would need for dental and eye and catastrophic health and so on there. But at the same time, we knew that, listen, God, you're in control. You're in charge. Whatever happens, happens. Lord, you're going to take care of it. And our faith, Peg's and my faith in the Lord, proved itself to be right on target. But through that process, God made it possible for us to get insurance. God, you know, Gabrielle, did you know she started as an EKG technician here at Fannie Allen at that time? And so that gives a little additional income, but then through the hospital, she got health insurance through the hospital down there. And so we've had it ever since, which has been wonderful, and nothing catastrophic has happened. What a bummer. which is that's a good thing. That's a good thing when it comes right down to it. But there are a lot of things that are happening out there in the world today that even believers are really kind of really fretting and being super concerned about. God's in control. God's still there. Amen. Put your faith and put your trust in God. Because we're already seeing what man will do to you. They'll pull the rug out from underneath you. God won't. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, just a quick message here to remind us that no matter how dire the economic situation gets around us, and Lord, things that we have counted on being there are easily taken away from us. But Lord, that's historically happened in many different times in America's history and in world history. Lord, we look at stock market crashes and the economic upheavals that existed in those late 20s. Lord, what a dire time for Americans. Lord, we're living in very desperate times in many different ways. Unemployment rate out of control. Financial situation out of control. But Lord, if we as your children are where we're supposed to be in our walk, in our faith, and in our service, Lord, we will not want for the things necessary to keep us in that will. How we thank you for those promises, the comfort of that promise, the comfort of your presence, the comfort of the knowledge of your sovereignty, that there isn't anything that doesn't go on in this world that you do not know about. And that, Lord, you'll have the right people in the right place to bring forth the truth. And Father, we're part of that. We're part of that program. We're part of that plan that you have. And Lord, we're so thankful for your closeness and your presence and your power, as well as your promises. Father, as we go forth now this week, may we go forth with absolute confidence, not fretting, not becoming anxious ridden because of the events of the time. But Lord, knowing that these are opportunities for us to share this hope in Christ with those who have no hope. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.